staying with music, how it's helping people with dementia, anxiety and with stroke recovery. Today marks the start of Music Therapy Week. It's a growing style of treatment here and around the world, with international research showing music can unlock areas of the brain other medical procedures have yet to reach. Two registered music therapists are with me who work predominantly in neurological and mental health. Penny Warren's a music therapist at Wellington's Hospital's mental health unit, also in private practice, and runs the Sounds Well Singers Choir. Good morning.
Good morning.
Rani Allen has a music therapy business, Music for Life, mainly for adults with dementia. Morning, Rani.
Good morning.
I was just mentioning to you before we hit the microphones that we've spoken previously with people working particularly in dementia, but in other areas as well. It's become quite a thing. This service is available in many parts of New Zealand for different conditions, Penny. Could you give us an indication of or an overview of where it's being used?
Absolutely. I mean, music therapists are working with people all through the lifespan. So from early childhood through to end of life. So we have colleagues who are working in child development centres, working in schools, including special education, mainstream schools, mental health services, hospital and community, hospice, so end of life, and neurological rehabilitation. And I apologise if I've missed any, but what about you? Do I have missed any?
No, I think that covers most of it, actually. It's the whole lifespan. We're looking from early childhood, early intervention, to people at the end of their lives.
Yeah. How does it differ depending on condition, depending on age and need? How is it used differently to impact different parts of the brain or emotional or relationships or however it helps?
Absolutely. You need a person-centred focus, which is what a lot of music therapists do. So they come in and they do an assessment with a client and they look at what that client presents as and what their needs might be and how music might be able to be used as a tool along with the therapeutic relationship to reach those goals.
So in the case of dementia, what is it that, to the best of our understanding, has an impact or is part of having an impact with someone? What's the music reaching in the brain?
So the music is actually reaching parts of the brain that we can't reach when the brain has degenerated with dementia. So we know what causes dementia roughly, and we also know that we can bypass those areas using music. There's been a wonderful piece of music research that's been done in Australia that shows that music is the only thing that can actually put memories in short-term memory. So everything else disappears in short-term memory for somebody living with dementia. Music can, you can actually learn a new song in dementia and it will stay.
That's remarkable because we've thought of it as being an access to long-term memories because for all of us it brings back the emotion of a romance five decades ago
it's
or whatever.
Connected to an event or a person or an environment, songs are connected to your identity.
But that's not the limit, long-term memory.
No.
It is actually enabling someone to lay down short-term memory that they otherwise could not.
That's correct.
So how would you do that in practice?
So I work mostly in dementia units, so either in private hospitals or rest homes, and I'm contracted to come in and work with a group of people, and they're usually 6 to 8 people in that group, and our focus is one about physical movement, it's also about memory recall, it's about emotions, being able to regulate their emotions. And then once we've built up that therapeutic relationship, because they remember me coming in with these songs, then we can start to use rhythm-based new music to engage them.
What's the role of rhythm, is it posited, in the laying down, say, of new short-term memory?
Well, Penny might be able to say a little bit about this too, because there has been some research in choirs using rhythm when they're learning new songs as well.
I think it's embodying, the embodiment of the rhythm, because we are rhythmic creatures. We all have rhythms inside us, you know, our heartbeat, our pulse, etc. But actually to coordinate with rhythm, with also the verbal, the communication, and it's musical, that lays down your networks. So what we're doing...
So it's multisensory, in a way.
Absolutely. And, you know, like we might present... Music presents in a certain way to different people. Music therapists are engaged in quite an active process rather than it just being we're playing to people. It's really not that. So the active process of music therapy would be it can stimulate different hormones. So oxytocin, group singing, great positive feelings within us.
That's an interesting point as well. It's not just the physiological impact in the brain. It's the fact that people... because of their condition sometimes may have withdrawn or been withdrawn from.
Isolated.
So you end up with a compounding effect, and music can start to unravel some of the compounding effect, as well as possibly also getting right to whatever neural circuitry is somehow impeded. So in your work in mental health, Penny, again, how would you utilise music therapy?
Well, I think as a music therapist, we've got music in front. However, we are thinking always, what is the need of the person? And then what sort of music may well connect with them? So we're building connections and relationship. So you said somebody might be isolated or withdrawn. So we may approach somebody with some instruments. We have lots of instruments. Or we may approach with a song that they may be familiar with. And we talk with the person, or maybe not, because sometimes people can't access the words.
Mm.
Words aren't easy to express. So the musical expression is one. So I may come in with, say, a whole load of djembes in the unit. African drum.
Yes.
Oh, right. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's nonverbal.
Yep.
It's accessible, because that's the other point. Music therapists have to have the musical skills. They train to a master's level. They need to be able to adapt the musical skills. However, our clients don't. So we present with a drum, and we may just start off connecting through sound, a bit like a musical dialogue. So we might be having a conversation verbally. Mm. We can do that musically. And then we can build on that. We may go into using song. We may go into improvising. I use the word jamming quite a lot for accessibility with clients, but we're improvising together in certain styles. We might write a song together if somebody wants to express something. So it's very much a personalised approach.
What are some of the results you've seen, again, Rani, in your work, particularly, I guess, focusing on dementia? Is it always, I mean, I straight away think of a care setting, but it's not necessarily. And can it be preventative? Can it happen in people's homes?
Absolutely. So I work privately in people's homes as well. And I've had a client that I've worked with over the last year, and we've used piano as a way of being able to connect. It's something that he used to play, and when we play together, I'm focusing on rhythm. I know that this person has a diagnosis of Parkinson's as well, and I also want him to be able to use his voice as much as possible. So both of those diagnoses are degenerative. I know that they are going to degenerate in time. So my goal is to be able to maintain them to a high level for as long as possible.
Like a muscle.
It's like exercising a muscle.
What about with stroke, though, where, again, we're familiar with the plasticity of the brain now.
Yes.
And the ability, okay, if a part of the brain responsible for an activity is damaged, what we're learning is another part of the brain can be trained with a lot of commitment and effort to pick up that load, or at least part of that load. Mm-hmm. So again, if you have someone with stroke, how would you use music therapy? How would you target music therapy to what you're trying to achieve?
So I work alongside somebody who has had a stroke. He can't use his right hand. But he used to play guitar. So one, it's about bringing him some positivity in his life. He does live in a care home, and being able to allow him to play like he used to. So I sit next to him and I do the strumming. He does all of the chord changing. And then I make sure that we have a visual cue. So these are the things that I've learnt over our assessments together. So you have to go and assess first, and then you build a music therapy program around that.
So you're playing the guitar together.
So we play the guitar together and we sing together. And if he doesn't quite get the words in some part, we go back, We go over it, we go over it.
Which is part of training the brain. It's been damaged.
Yes.
Anyone will tell you, it's a slow and determined process, but you see quite remarkable gains in doing it.
Yes. And not only that, but the people who then care for that person afterwards have said to me, what a change, not just in being able to communicate, but also in his emotional mood state.
Which is huge.
You can't huge do anything if you're not feeling good.
It's also huge in being able to persevere with the physical therapies.
Absolutely.
Just to get the positive feedbacks. Let's talk about the chemicals then that are released by music in all of us again, and how do you maximise that in music therapy? How do you maximise the feel-good endorphins in music therapy? Because people obviously who are dealing with or are in need of therapy for some reason or other, this is going to be beneficial.
Yeah, and I think it's that people have very different levels of need as well. So Rani will go into someone's home and I might work in an inpatient context, but also work in the community. How do we build the feel-good? I'll go back to your question, sorry. So
this is where the choirs come into play quite a bit.
There is that aspect too. I mean, you know, you may use music yourself to feel good. So if you're actually actively playing or actively singing, your body is engaged, you're using different parts of the brain, you're using all your vocal apparatus. And doing that with people also has this knock-on effect.
Of social engagement and community engagement.
Absolutely. And also the feeling of, okay, I can. So somebody may not be able to speak a lot in conversation, but they're able to sing. So that's about the neurology. You know, the left side of the brain, maybe the speech centre has been affected, and that might be labelled as somebody having aphasia. But they're still able to sing because the singing and the melody is on the different hemisphere.
It can be completely different. Experience.
So we can start to load that,
yeah.
So some music therapists work individually and will work intensively or in groups.
This is funny because this is trying to say hormones are released to me, but it's spelt hormones. So I was thinking harmonies release hormones, and they probably do. We all love that amazing experience when you had a good harmony.
Yeah.
Because of the human connection and the human collaboration in it. I'm finding that quite amusing, that type of.
I think also it's personalised. I work with so many people, and especially when I'm running groups in a mental health setting, which I occasionally do, you also find that if you go around the room and you're talking about song choice, everyone's songs are so different.
Yeah.
You know, you might be Leonard Cohen to Katy Perry to, you know, it's just so varied. You have to have a lot of skills to be able to help people and connect.
You do things differently, though, I think, with the Soundswell singers, Penny. What would you do in training that choir that's different from a traditional choir?
Yeah, so we are very much, again, it's like, this is the choir, so we're singing. Okay, that's great. But then what we're doing is looking at the vocal apparatus. So we look at the breathing mechanisms for people. We help them develop those, strengthen. We use lots of exercises. So we may focus a lot on that. We bring in physical warm-ups. Then we will also think about the music. So we might use music from other languages because it's actually focusing on specific sounds and consonants. Or we may use music that has a certain pitch range because that helps somebody move from maybe the monotone. It is very... It's like,
why
how
you
do
need
I talk
a master's
about music
degree?
Therapy?
Yeah. Does your master's... So your master's degree is in music. Do you also need to do some kind of psychology study or anything?
No, it's a master's in music therapy.
Music therapy.
So music therapy students will have already done an undergraduate in something. Usually it's in music, so they have those music skills. So one of my roles recently has been doing a little bit of teaching on the course. And so you're working to develop and build up a different way of using music.
I know you had a fundraising concert yesterday.
Yes.
I'm curious as to how people are able to access this because it's your professional life. I'm sure everyone wants you to do it for free and you can't.
No.
And so how are people able to access this kind of therapy? Can it be prescribed?
Absolutely. We're allied health professionals.
Yes.
We're registered music therapists.
So who will refer people to you? Specialists and...
Yes, yeah absolutely. Some come privately, but a lot will. I've had people through ACC, through schools, ORS funding.
And sometimes it does rely on private funding, which I think, you know, ideally, having started my work in the NHS in the UK, would be great.
Is it funded in the NHS?
Yes.
But I'm contracted to the DHB here.
So that work that you do inpatient is funded by the health system.
Absolutely, yes.
I imagine you see people, it being an inpatient role, you see people sometimes in quite acute situations.
So you're very much, because this is in an inpatient context.
But this is absolutely a relevant theory at any stage of their journey.
Yes, I mean, ideally, people can take in the skills or some information in their own recovery journeys in mental health. However, in the context of the inpatient acute level, it can be the matter of developing engaging interactions.
They cannot speak possibly in a situation, but they can begin to
express.
Or
very distressed. So some people can be very, very anxious.
I hope we've got information. I'm sure we will have on the website.
Yeah, Music Therapy New Zealand website, so we can make sure you've got that information.
You can see my colleagues on your way out and make sure that people can.
Soundswell Singers have a Facebook page.
Great.
Rani's got a website.
See them on your way out. Thank you for coming in, Penny Warren and Rani Allen. Wonderful.